This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wes Moore, head coach of the number 2 ranked NC State women's basketball program, is scheduled to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. But we do have not only breaking news a second ago with the schedule change, also a big announcement today, Wes. And this is going to affect everybody that listens and watches the show. Happy birthday to Wes Durham. 39 years old again today on Packer and Durham. Big man, happy birthday.
Really?
How about that?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
How about that?
Thank you very much.
Big birthday.
Yeah. Sammy Hagar.
Tried to low-key it. Sammy Hagar. Low-key us. We know.
Sammy Hagar. That's right. Can't drive 55 today.
Mm-mm. So what's the big plan?
Thank you.
We got anything special? Going to sell the house? You in the mood to sell the house? Huh? Just let me know.
No. I'm not in the mood to sell the house. Big plans today? Let's see.
Two fingers?
I don't know that I've got any big plans today.
A little
possibility.
Ice cube.
Possibility.
Maybe an ice cube. There we go.
Maybe go to the top of the top shelf and see if there's something up there. Might want to have
a little bit, man. Time for you to live a little bit.
Working on a project.
We're talking about play now. This is birthday time.
Working on a little project.
We're not talking about going out.
It's too rainy to go hit balls. No. Go hit golf balls on your birthday. It'd be a good idea, but no, not today.
Not today.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Very kind of y'all to make it a big announcement. I thought we were going to really do something bigger. Now you're talking about my age,
everybody,
but that's good.
I mean, we could tell everybody on Thursday we're going to announce the 21 ACC football schedule at 9 a.m. at this time.
Yeah.
And we could do that.
Yeah.
But we figured, hey,
let's do that.
It's about priorities, man. It's about birthday first, ACC football schedule coming up Thursday at this time on this show. That's the game plan.
Yep. I get to see my mom tomorrow. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that.
There you go.
That'll be a good birthday present.
Outstanding.
Happy birthday. Thank you. Mom, love you. See you tomorrow. Watch the show every day. Appreciate it.
Excellent. All right. We're going to continue
the worst of the weekend.
Right. And we go from your fourth
birthday. You were upset we were saving this to the backside here, we get to finish this.
We got to cover everything. We try to cover all the bases.
All right.
That's what we do.
All right. MJ Walker, next on Worst of the Weekend. What happened here? He got his bell rung?
Yeah, he had a collision course with a teammate, and it didn't matter. I mean, Florida State was up 39, 38, 406, whatever it was, in the second half against Clemson. And even without MJ Walker, it didn't matter. Noles are just rolling, man. Mm-hmm. Noles are just playing basketball. They really look good. There it is. Bang. But he's apparently okay, which is great, because this guy is a dude now. This guy is a player. Bam, right in the head, right in the temple.
Oh,
Florida State.
Oh, man.
Florida State boxing out so well, they're boxing out their own guys. I mean, you don't tell me Leonard's got these guys dialed in, right?
Yeah.
Leonard said, I know you're going
to
box out the dude in orange. Let's box out everybody. But MJ's going to be okay. He didn't look too hot right here, but he's a baller, man. He can play.
Is Duke on the worst of the weekend here? Definition of a 500 team is what it says.
Well, they haven't been 10 games into a season at 500 since the 82-83 season. I don't think anybody in their right mind thought they'd be sitting here at the 5-win mark late January, right? Nobody thought that. Work to be done in Durham.
Right.
Work to be done.
Yeah, no question. This is one that is going to get interesting for us in particular, and apparently got interesting for Wake Forest yesterday, because going 50% at the free throw line might have had an impact in a 2-point loss to number 1 Louisville. But one of our favorites on this show missed 2 free throws too, I think, right?
Yeah, Gina missed 2. That adds to the donation I plan on giving back to a local Winston-Salem charity, and it'll be up to the Wake Forest women's basketball program to figure it out. But Gina doesn't miss him very often. But she missed 2 yesterday. But Wake Forest goes 12 of 24 from the line and lose by two. Now, listen, keep in mind, Wake has the lead with 10 seconds to go in the game by one till Dana Evans and those killer eyelashes makes a move and makes the basket and gets fouled, makes the free throw. But Wake will look back at that. Coach Hoover's going to look back at that one and go, man, played well, but you can't beat terrific teams, much less number one, when you're 12 of 24 from the line. That will get you every time. That's a killer.
There you go. And then finally, on worst of the weekend, your lottery.
Oh, terrible. Here it is. In fact, I just kidded around about it. I picked five. Let's see, one, two, three, four. Five picks, right? There's six picks per $2 attempt. 30 numbers, Wes. I got 1 of 30 right. 1 of 30 right. And so I told you I'm going to do this now the rest of the regular season and throughout the year. It's me against MJ Walker. And here's what I mean by that. MJ Walker is 46 of 50 from the free throw line. He has a 92% accuracy rate. I have now, while doing this crazy lottery thing, have attempted 138 attempts at numbers. I've gotten 11 right. I'm at a 92.1% inaccurate mark. So it's me against MJ Walker for the rest of the year. My lottery picks against MJ from the line. And right now, it is anybody's game. Walker at 92%. I'm at 92.1%. That's where we are. That's the only way to look at this. It's the only way to laugh about how bad these picks have been.
11 of 138.
11 of a buck 38.
Are you going to continue to play the lottery, or is that the standard for you?
I just said, no. I play every week. MJ plays every week. So this is the battle.
Okay.
Mega Millions, Powerball, whatever it is. I'm in for me and my 0.79% accuracy rate. Brutal.
Mm-hmm. Brutal. All right. Let's take Tremaine in North Carolina at 844-SAY-ACCN. Tremaine, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. So before I say anything, I'm going to give you guys three quick nuggets. First, pack.
Yes, sir.
I have been currently looking for some lakefront land. Me and my wife are looking to build a house. Had I known you was in real estate, my friend, I'd have called you long time ago. You are absolutely holding out on me.
Well, I'm not, because my number is free for anybody to call me at any point in time to ask about any piece of real estate. Here it is. There's my real estate right there. You need me, just call me. I'll sell you a house in a millisecond.
Golly.
Look at that.
Yeah,
I'm
going to have to hit you up on that.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hit you up on that. Number two, Pack, you're going to hate this one, is that I also took my $20 and played the lottery. I had one ticket that had the first four numbers correct. You want to talk about somebody who was about to do a serious kind of touchdown dance in their living room?
Wow.
Jesus was playing tricks on me.
But you win something for that, don't you? You get four out of six right, don't you? You got some cash coming your way, right?
Yeah, it's only $100. Like, don't get your hopes up. It's just $100. It's just
great. I'm going to take that $100. I'll take that C note right now and laugh all the way to the bank.
Got you. And then the third one, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, and y'all relay the message. If Seth Greenberg comes on this show again and says something about Tony Bennett being a good NBA coach, I'm coming to the studio, and you tell him I said it.
You want to keep him right there in Charlottesville, right?
Yes, yes. Real quick, I just wanted to mention, I would love to see, and I think it was Jay Billis and someone, I forget the guy at the ACC Network that said it Saturday night too, but I would love to see Virginia start getting just a little bit more respect. I'm not taking anything away from Florida State. Absolutely. They are a phenomenal team. But it's funny, they were talking the same thing about Florida State last year, and then Florida State came to Charlottesville and took an L. And there was another interesting thing. I heard another analysis on ESPN that said Reese Beckman is the one superstar across the nation no one is talking about. And so Tony Bennett's got a wonderful ability of just taking players and making them elite. Now, hopefully I don't shoot myself in the foot and we go drop an L tonight against Syracuse, but I would just love to see Virginia start getting more respect. It seems like it's always talking about someone else except the team that stays at the top. So that's just my thoughts today, fellas. I'm going to hit you up, Pat, on that lakefront property, my friend.
Give me a call. Anytime. Anytime of the day, 24-7, 365. I'm here to wheel and deal with you. Piece of cake.
Tremaine, good points. Especially the Virginia and Florida State scenario is interesting. I think that the lean, whatever perceived lean there is, Virginia's a good team. I don't think anybody's discounted what the Cavaliers done. It's certainly not a lack of respect. Florida State's depth and the way they're playing, particularly in the last two regular seasons, last year, certainly the book there and what they've done this year. Now, granted, they lost at Clemson. Virginia's undefeated. Respect that for sure. Cavaliers, we mentioned earlier, 9 straight wins in one-possession games against conference opponents. Now, we've got to wait till February 15th to get them in the regular season, and it's a ball game in Tallahassee. Let's hope we get that game packed. That's number one, right? That's what we have to say this year for sure. The second part of it is I think both teams are on that collision course for February 15th. I think they're on another collision course too, and that's in the postseason, be it in Greensboro at the tournament or be it on down the line in the NCAA. Both are really good teams. I don't feel the slight. I think Virginia is a different type team, as Seth pointed out earlier. I think Florida State continues to kind of stand by the foundation that they went to a few years ago with depth and athleticism and being able to play in different styles. But no slight intended on Virginia now. It's just a different type Cavalier team, and I think some people may have been slow to warm to that. And here's the other thing, too. The Cavaliers were slow out of the gate. It's worked for them in the ACC to where they're undefeated, and I think we all understand that. But I do also believe, too, that some of Virginia's missteps, overtime win against Kent State, loss to Gonzaga, things like that, Pack, we didn't have a feel for Virginia. I'm not sure Cavalier fans had a feel for Virginia until we got into the month of January.
Well, a couple things. Number one, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I think we both had Virginia number one in accounting last week on our poll. Number two, the right. AP's got Virginia ranked 13th in the country. I don't think that's a disrespect card routine. I mean, I think people have acknowledged Virginia's got a really terrific team and a great program. Mm-hmm. I think the way they lost to Gonzaga, given how slow everything was coming out of the gate in college hoops, was something for a lot of folks around the country going, wow. Because if you remember that game, that was a beatdown. That was not a pretty sight. Zags had an 80 spot on the board with another 8 or 9 minutes to go in the game. And the one calling right. card of Virginia basketball over the years of this great run with Tony Bennett is great defense. And now you're seeing a team light them up like a Christmas tree that particular middle of December. And again, Virginia was coming off a pause. They're the ones that said, hey, let's go play Gonzaga. They signed up to play that game. So it was a chance for everybody right. to basically take a look at Virginia really for the first time. And you might have missed the game against San Francisco or the Kent State game that you did that was on early in the year. So I think all of that kind of comes into play that when you get woodshedded like that, you can't put them in the top mm-hmm. 10 because they just weren't competitive. Well, I think that team now, Virginia now versus the team that played the day after Christmas, that's a night and day scenario. This Virginia team is much better. They've improved, and that's what good teams do. So I don't think Virginia's being disrespected. I think Tony's probably very comfortable with where he's got his team because nobody's talking about him from a national perspective as far as Final Four teams or top 10, but yet they still go about their business. They win close games. They're getting better yep. on the defensive side. And I know he just didn't like the question or much less where I was coming from, but I do think this is his best offensive team. So I think that, again, yeah. I think the ceiling is right there, man. Go for it. They are going this direction. Now, whether or not they beat Florida State, I don't know. That'll take care of itself one way or the other. But the Hoos are in the conversation.
No question. All right, we'll take a break. Wes Moore's Wolfpack, number 2. Got a win yesterday against Virginia Tech. Elisa Cunane did not play, but they still had 3 20-point scores. We'll talk to Coach Moore. Packer and Durham rolls on a Monday right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday right here on ACC Network. Many thanks to Seth Greenberg, who joined us last hour, as he normally does on a Monday to break things down. We talked about the men's game. Man, the women had some crazy games going on yesterday. Number one was in trouble. Louisville found a way to win late against Wake Forest on the road. Yep. And then number two found themselves with a uh-oh moment. But you know what? He never flinches. Wes Moore, the head coach, joins us. And, Coach, first of all, good morning. Man, you made it a little nervous there yesterday, right? Piece of cake, down a double, down a dozen, five to go. Let's go play, right? Slap the floor, let's go.
Tell you what, that's where the players take over and save the coach, you know. They just made some big plays, hit some big shots, and, you know, it was our first game in 21 days, and it looked like it. So I think we set the game back a little bit. But, again, proud of the way they hung in there. You know, we've done that a couple of times this year and just found a way to get it done. And, you know, that's all you can do is ask your players to keep fighting and keep battling, and they did that.
All right. We've talked to several coaches. We've talked to a handful of players that have been on this pause. Everybody seems to have somewhat of a different story. And then the first game back, Coach, it's just a potpourri of results and, you know, approach and that kind of thing. How was it for you?
Well, you know, again, we had a lot of players that I think we had six players that were out at the beginning of the week, three positives, three quarantined or isolated due to contact tracing. Fortunately, we had those players coming out of that after, again, we had a three-week pause there. But Lisa Kinane, obviously a big part of what we do, still not out of it. And, you know, so we had to have some players step up. And, you know, it was tough, though. You have a lot of individual workouts where you can't even touch the ball or be within 25 feet of the player. Thank goodness for Dr. Dish. I'll give them a plug. We got a couple of those. And so we're able to let the players use those while they're working out in isolation or whatever. But it's still not the same. And then we had like five players that could actually be out there together during that time, five or six. So it's crazy. Nothing, you know, I've been doing this 30-something years. I promise you I hadn't seen anything like it. So just thank goodness for, you know, our seniors, Kai Crutchfield, Kayla Jones, held things together and stepped up big time yesterday in the clutch. And you got to lean on those veterans to pull those young players through some things like this.
Coach, it really is, though, a testament to your program that you could take Kinane out of the equation, not to mention 3 weeks off with the pause, take on a Virginia Tech team that has played everybody tough. I mean, Kenny Brooks just had one of those years where if they can find a way to lose a tough game, they have. They've lost six by 6 points or less. You throw all that in the deal and the fact that you're down by a dozen with five to play, and you still reach down deep and find a way to win. Really, it's a testament to what you have built. I know you said you gave all the praise to your players, and again, they got to go make plays, but it really is about what you have built, isn't it? It's not one player. It's a team game, and man, you proved that in every degree yesterday.
Well, that's what we keep talking about is, you know, Lisa, like I said, our leading scorer, she's our presence inside, and our four out, one in system, you know, she's very critical. We want to play inside out. So, definitely missed her, but we talked about that, wanting to show that we're a team. We're not just one player, and I think our players stepped up and did a great job of that. And going back to what you were saying, yes, Virginia Tech, you know, you've got a post player. Well, they got the second and third leading scorers in the ACC, and after playing against us yesterday and lighting us up, they may be second and third in the country. I don't know. and they got not only do they have Kitley inside, they got three guards that are shooting over 40% from three. I mean, are you kidding me? All those weapons. And Coach Brooks does a great job putting them in a position to utilize their talent. And so, again, we're just very fortunate. And now we got to go up there later this week. And, you know, I'm sure probably Kinane will still be out. So that's going to be even a tougher challenge. But, again, proud of them. At least we got a game back in after being off for 3 weeks. Hopefully that helps us a little bit. But, yes, I'm proud of our program. proud of the way our players, you know, try to pay attention to details and do the little things to hold things together. And obviously we keep, you know, getting talent. That's what it takes. You know, you got to have great players, and we've been fortunate to get those top players.
Okay, when you go on this 21-day pause, I know you're focused on who's healthy, who's not, what you can do to kind of continue the momentum and continuity of your season, and that seems to be the biggest hurdle. But also, does it give you a chance to look at this league a little bit more and not necessarily look ahead, but look at the teams that you're going to see? I know you probably looked at Virginia Tech. You want to look at some others as well. How good is this league? You've talked about being in it a long time. I'm not sure this league, despite Louisville 1 and U2, that the rest of this league's getting the credit it maybe deserves.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and again, Georgia Tech, for instance, you know, I knew they were going to be really good. Nell's done a great job with that program, her staff. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league, and they've got some people that can fill it up. So, again, you start with them. Syracuse, they've got some young players right out there. But, you know, Syracuse, again, yesterday they had a rough first half, and then they come back. And then Clemson, again, Clemson, you know, they'll press you, they'll fly around, they'll play their zone. They give you problems. You know, Notre Dame's been playing better. Of course, you know, it goes without saying Louisville, and Louisville's doing it with a couple of freshmen out there also. You know, there's so many teams, you know, and again, every day you better be ready to play. And you hit it right on the head. During this period, we have tried to go ahead and pre-scout and get a little bit of a head start on some of the teams you have coming up, because you also never know when there's going to be a situation where a team goes on pause and all of a sudden your opponent changes. You know, we did that right with Miami in the year. We lost a game and we added Miami within a couple of days. And so you got to be ready for that to happen. But we're definitely trying to peek ahead a little bit. The assistants are especially, but me as well. But, you know, right now that we're playing again, my full attention will be on Virginia Tech this week. I can promise you that.
Coach, you're number two in the country, highest ranking ever for the school. For women's basketball, do you feel that, or is it just a matter of, hey, in this day and age, we're just lucky to be playing a game this week? You tell me.
Yeah, and we did. We were ranked number two in the country with Coach Yao, I think about 90 or 91. So, you know, got to give Coach Yao, again, a lot of credit for the program she built here at NC State and the way she advanced this program to have a name and have a tradition. And we've just tried to build on that. But, you know, as far as the number two ranking, we haven't talked about it a whole lot. I just think you don't give out trophies in January. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have that going across the ticker all the time and for recruits and parents and stuff to see that. It's great for our players to feel like, you know, hey, you know, people notice, they've recognized what we're doing. So that's all good. But again, we got a long way to go, and especially after this 3-week pause and without Elisa, you know, right now I think we're just trying to see, as y'all mentioned, try to see if we can get a little of that momentum back that we had early in the year and get that thing rolling so that, you know, we get into February, March, and hopefully April, whatever. I hope we're getting better every day.
All right. Now, you mentioned you got to go to Blacksburg Thursday. I understand that. A week from tonight, we all know what's on the calendar. Have you given yourself a chance to look ahead a little bit about Jeff Walls and his custom shoes, his custom Adidas, next Monday night?
Yeah, he's styling, isn't he? I tell you what, he makes it tough on us. You know, again, we had that 3-week pause. So, sure, we looked ahead a little bit to, you know, obviously to Virginia Tech at the time, to Louisville. You know, just different ones coming up. But, you know, the biggest thing with them is they're just so great in transition. I mean, they are running the ball. And they've got three guards that are as good as any in the country, I feel like, that are scoring. They got Cochran inside. I say three guards, really four guards. They're pretty much playing four guards that are super, super scorers, super tough off the bounce and off the three-point line. And then Cochran, a great freshman, that they really do a good job of working inside out with her. And but like I said, it's with transition because all those guards, they get out and run, they pass ahead, they attack the rim. You're going to have to slow down their transition game somewhat. You're not going to stop it. You will hope to just try to slow it down a little bit. So, and then you hope and pray that, you know, we have Elisa back by then. But like I said, we got our hands full Thursday night, and that's where our full attention is because we were very fortunate to pull the game out yesterday, and now we got to go on the road. So, you know, again, hopefully getting a game under our belt's going to help us. But we know we got our hands full. Obviously, Virginia Tech had Louisville on the ropes up there in at Virginia Tech a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And again, Virginia Tech can play with anybody in the country. I'm just saying that's they're that good.
Coach, I'll just point out though, I remember you joining us in December to preview a road trip to Columbia, South Carolina. At the time, that was the number one ranked team in the country. And you went down there and said, hey, thank you very much. We play in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Y'all have a really nice stadium here, a nice building, and really great program. But we're going to take this W back to Raleigh. So, you know, rolling in to number one on the road has been no big deal for you guys lately. Just saying. Plus, you're back on the show again. Yeah. Just saying.
I think that game will help us, you know.
No
doubt. When you go on the road, I think that game helps you. I think the comeback wins could help us, you know, at some point because, you know, you've done it and you've been there. But again, that's a big tribute to our seniors and them having been in this program for 4 years. And, you know, that's what I love about recruiting high school kids. You got them for 4 years and you watch them grow as players, as people. You know, it's just awesome. There's nothing like it, you know, to then look at them even after they leave your program and go into the real world. So, to have these seniors stepping up like this is really special. And obviously, Elisa's a junior. She's been through it. We'll get her back. You've got some great leadership that you can build around. And you can draw from a big road win against the number one team in the country like South Carolina was. So, yeah, I agree with you. That definitely helps you with your mental approach.
All right. Well, stay safe. Get everybody back Thursday night in Blacksburg. Next Monday night, of course, the ball game with Louisville at the Yum Center. Coach Moore, we always appreciate the time and look forward to catching up soon again.
Hey, it's fun. I love coming on here with you guys. So just try to keep Elliot Aben off the air as much as you can. We don't want him to things, okay? He's already good. I think they're loaded this year. I'm ready to go to the College World Series. I can't wait.
Is that right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You put a little pressure on your boy
pressure.
Nine, didn't you?
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah.
Hey, dude,
we're that good.
Listen, keep up the great work.
All right, man.
Oh. All right.
Bye-bye.
Coach Wes Moore, NC State women's program, does a tremendous job. Number two in the country and number one Louisville next Monday night on the docket.
And I will be stunned if we do not hear from Elliot Avent after that shot by Coach Moore. Those guys are having a good time going back and forth with one another. But the pack should be good. We haven't talked to any baseball yet, but we will. That is on our docket coming on down the road here. Won't be long.
What do you think when we take an extended vacation coming up sometime in the spring or summer?
Vacation.
You know, where you're going to go on your European tour or whatever it is you do.
Right. Like, where in Europe? Let me ask you a question. And I do like to take vacations. I haven't been on a vacation since Italy 2 years ago. Where would
you
go?
2 years ago, right?
It was 2 years ago.
I don't know.
I haven't left the house in a year and a half.
I don't know.
2 years.
I just remember
when
we used to go on vacations.
Listen, in a
perfect world. I just remember
when
we used to go.
I know. I don't see us taking any vacation time off. I think all we're going to do is work. Round the clock. That's all we do.
All right. I would say Wes Moore and Elliot Avent could just hold down the fort here with the Lumberjacks one day. What do you think?
No doubt. An NC State takeover to the 18th. That they would be a perfect combo, those two, going back and forth. It would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, we have these takeover days, right, with the show. Like, you know, you have school takeover days, right? We did it back summer.
Yeah.
We just now all of a sudden let, you know, we just let, like, Jeff Collins host Packer in Durham, Elliot Avent, Wes Moore.
We let
Lars Tiffany from Virginia come in here. I mean, we could do the school every day. Somebody could co-host.
Yeah, I'm with you. 100%. Totally agree.
Right. Thank you. I didn't think I was crazy about it. I mean, I thought it was a legitimate, solid idea. When we come back, if you missed this earlier in the show, Mark Packer has identified some of the issues that might be ailing some teams in the ACC with the world-famous Packer infamous ACC index card. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the show.
Coming up next on this show right now is the infamous ACC index card.
Yep.
This has been done for generations by Mark Packer. Did it on radio in Charlotte. We've maintained it through the life of the ACC Central on Sirius XM 371, and we have now brought it to Packer and Durham until we're told otherwise not to do it.
Probably won't stop us. That was attempted. That coup was attempted years ago on radio, and I said, "No, I'm going to still do it. I'm not making any statement. These are just the numbers that the referees called, and the players play, and the coaches coach. And here it is. If you don't know what this is, it started back in the late 90s when I started a radio show in Charlotte, which eventually got syndicated throughout the Carolinas called Primetime with the Pac-Man. We came up with a thing called the infamous ACC index card because fans always complained that their team was either getting screwed or somebody else was favored. And all, I mean, I heard it all from every school, every fan base known to man. So I said, you know what? That's actually a great idea. So I decided to give you literally the numbers. Total fouls, who's had the most, who's had the least, foul margin, free throw attempt margin, who goes the line the most, who goes the least. We're not making any statement whatsoever. These are the numbers. Simple as that.
With
now
that.
Now, you heard, with Coach, that. You heard Coach K earlier tonight, I mean, on the show, after his press conference, talking about, man, it just seems like the last three or four games, we've only shot 50 and the other guys have shot 100. Well, he wasn't necessarily that accurate, but his point was pretty accurate. So with that said, here you go. The infamous ACC index card. We start with least fouls. All right, Georgia Tech. Now, keep in mind, teams have played a different number of games. We're not making any statement here whatsoever, but Georgia Tech's been called for only 71 fouls in ACC games. Notre Dame 76, Virginia 181, respectively. That's the best end. All right, that's the good side. The flip end of it is, well, who's been called for the most? Well, 13th would be Louisville, $122. 14th is Miami at $125. And the North Carolina Tar Heels have been called for more fouls against them than anybody else in the league. So for all you Duke fans screaming, oh, North Carolina gets all the calls. Well, technically, North Carolina's been called for the most fouls. There you go. That's the number. All right? Those are fouls. Now, we also have a thing called foul margin, which comes into play. And that is when you play those respective ACC institutions, how you doing? Well, right now, Notre Dame, Miami, and Virginia Tech have done the best. Notre Dame's been called for 22 fewer fouls against them than their ACC opponents. Miami is next, and then Virginia Tech. They're the three best in the league. Who are the three at the bottom end that could be sitting there going, man,
oh boy,
we play these teams. Oh, all boy. I'd ever do is see the other team go to the line all the time. Well, Florida State and Virginia are the worst in the league. They're arguably the two best teams. The opponents have gone to the line a lot more than these two dudes have. Duke is next, so the best in the league is Notre Dame, Miami, Virginia Tech. The worst in the league would be Duke, Virginia, and Florida State when it comes to foul margin. So then when Coach K says, man, it just seems like the other guys go in the line forever and we never get the line. Well, K, technically, you'd be right because only Virginia and Florida State have a worst case scenario than you do. Again, we're not telling you about who gets calls or not. Those are just the numbers. Now, it comes to free throws.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here we go. Free throw attempts.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Who's done the best? Well, Miami goes to the line 161 times. North Carolina's next, then Virginia Tech. They're the three best right now in terms of getting to the line. How about the worst in the league? How about the team that's undefeated is the worst in the league at getting to the line? How about that? Virginia is dead last in the ACC. 44 attempts. That's it. Then you got Duke, Georgia Tech. All right? So those are the numbers. Best and worst. How about free throw attempt margins? This is where Coach K was upset, right? Man, we just other guys go in the line all the time. Well, Miami, Notre Dame, and Pitt are tied for first. They have gone to the free throw line 33 more times than their ACC opponents when they play them. The worst in the league is Duke, a negative 42, meaning ACC opponents have shot 42 more free throws than Duke in their conference matchups, then Syracuse and Florida State. So there you have it. We're not telling you anything other than the numbers, and they don't lie. Numbers don't lie. It is what it is. The infamous ACC
goodness.
Index.
Oh, my goodness.
So okay. All that tells you is that when you've got some buddies down the hallway, down the street, whatever it may be, man, I'm so sick and tired. Team X goes to the line all the time. No wonder they never lose a game. Or no wonder we never win a game. We don't get any calls. That's what the index card is for. Just tells you where you stand.
One thing to note about all this stuff from the infamous ACC index card is we have a pronounced glob in the ACC. There is a two-game split between second and 11th, by the way, in this league. Two games in the loss column. Here they go. Virginia Tech on down. Look at Virginia Tech and Louisville at two losses. Then you see Pitt with 4-2. Georgia Tech's got 3-2. And then NC State down at the bottom with four losses. That is two games. And in ACC basketball analysts, we got a lifetime to play. Now, if we play the schedule. That being said, we understand there's some that are on pause or come off a pause, or BC's case still on pause. Schedules are going to get moved around, reset the whole nine yards. But, Pack, it's only two games. That's why, you know, Clemson, I know they're not happy with the way things have gone off the pause for the Tigers, but three straight losses, I think you're still in the hunt here with the 3-4 mark in league play.
Well, you obviously they've got to start playing better, right? I mean, since the pause, they've not played well at all. But here's the, I said earlier, the good news if you're a Clemson fan is you're done with Florida State. You're done with Virginia. You're done with Virginia Tech. From a schedule perspective. And February, quite frankly, is a lot lighter than January. This was a front-loaded schedule. And on top of that, you've got some quality Power 5 wins in your back pocket, including the only win against Florida State. So unlike, I would say, Duke and NC State, who right now are on losing streaks, Clemson's body of work, quite frankly, is much better than both Duke and NC State. I've got a bigger concern for Duke and State moving forward, having to snap losing streaks that need some quality wins, where Clemson's got a little bit more leeway there. But again, all three of those teams, I think, are quality teams, good teams that when everything falls into place, they'll be just fine. But they got to get there. And, you know, all of them have dealt with stoppage and pause, all three of them. I don't think that's a crazy coincidence either. So, and again, you got to get into a rhythm of a season, playing games and so forth. So I think that's going to be critical for all of these guys moving forward as we figure it out. And when you see that whole laundry list of teams with two, three, or four losses, some folks have played tougher schedules than others. I think there's some fool's gold a little bit in that list. I think there's also some teams that may not be ranked as high in the standings that, hey, you've had a tougher road. So again, it'll all work itself out one way or the other.
By the way, I would say that tonight's ball game for Syracuse is pretty critical.
Huge.
Back just no in the doubt. World of quality wins. Virginia off to a great start. We told you 10-2 overall. The losses are to San Francisco and to Gonzaga. And now you're talking about a chance to go big game hunting if you're Jim Boeheim. You shot it well the last two games against Miami and Virginia Tech. Can you travel that on the road to Charlottesville tonight? That ball game, by the way, on ESPN at 7 o'clock. When we come back, we will close the show. And what do we expect tonight and from the AP that comes out earlier this afternoon? Florida State's going to jump in with 2 feet. How big do they jump? Seth Greenberg said top 10.
Nah.
Not sure about that. We'll cover it next. on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here at the University of Virginia, traditions old and new find footing in our origins. It begins with a will to serve the greater good and preparing our students to be citizen leaders. Two guiding principles established in 1819 by this university's founder, President Thomas Jefferson. Not only is this vision evident across our grounds, it's in the framework of our traditions on the gridiron. From the students and citizens who mount up and lead the charge on game days, to putting the community first, welcoming young heroes into the Cavalier family, and celebrating the accomplishments of teammates to go above and beyond to deliver a victory. Because at the University of Virginia, to be great, one must also be good. This is our standard. These are our traditions.
Hey, another installation of ACC Traditions tonight at 6:30 right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app, and it's all about the University of Virginia. Teams, players, coaches, never-before-seen footage and interviews, and it actually starts a two-and-a-half-hour block of Cavalier programming tonight right here on ACC Network. Nobody covers the ACC like we do. And UVA on a roll, but Syracuse coming to town tonight. Pack, we just talked about the Orange and the Wahoos at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. And to be honest with you, it is a ball game that for Virginia, certainly another chance to step forward. But for Syracuse, feels like that they're going there on a pretty good foot after wins against Miami and Virginia Tech.
It's a great opportunity for Syracuse tonight, right? You talk about quality win, if you could pull it off, and before you say, oh, that'll never happen. Well, how about the last time they showed up?
Yep.
All right, I still remember, again, Buddy Boeheim making that crazy shot right in front of his dad, and that was a wild game last year when they played. So, again, Syracuse playing with a lot of confidence, and when they make shots, they are a problem. And the one thing about Virginia, you know, if it's close, they like it that way. And coming off a really tough game against Georgia Tech, that thing could have gotten away from them, but yep. It never seems to, right? Virginia just finds ways to win games. They're undefeated in the conference play. They're the only team that falls into that category. But I expect this to be a really entertaining game tonight. I think Syracuse will play well,
yep.
And Virginia is playing well. So let it roll the ball out there, see where it goes. Give us something to talk about tomorrow, for sure.
A little over a year ago, Joe Girard went for 18. The Orange won 65-63 in overtime. But I remember Buddy Boeheim's long three-point shot was probably the most memorable basket of the ball game that night for Coach Boeheim. So look for that tonight, 7 o'clock. Also, over the weekend, in fact, just after we went off the air on Friday, it was announced that the legendary baseball player Hank Aaron had passed away, living in this area since 1995. I can't tell you the enormous impact he had not only in that sport but also on this community. And I was asked on Saturday by someone, you know, did I ever have a chance? And I only met Hank Aaron briefly one time, and they said, how was he? I said, he was like the baseball card. He was warm and humble. Because if you don't think Hank Aaron was humble, as they said sometimes this weekend, Chipper Jones, in fact, said it, turn that baseball card over one time and have a look at Hank Aaron's baseball career and then realize that his impact off the field was just as significant in the South. And he did a lot of things on April 8th, 1974, when he hit home run number 715. But
against the Dodgers.
His impact off the field was just as significant. Yes, it was against Al Downing. Thank you. His impact off the field was just as significant. So Georgia Tech has elected to honor Hank Aaron a couple of different ways.
Very cool.
They turned the stadium Braves blue the other night, and Jeff Collins announcing that no one will wear the jersey number 44 next year for Georgia Tech in honor of Henry Aaron, who will also be honored in his hometown of Mobile, Alabama this week by the Senior Bowl with a decal on the helmet at the Senior Bowl game too. So All really good stuff to honor just a tremendous gentleman, Mark.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. That was our show on the afternoon on Friday on radio. And I was present at a number of events that he was there. I never met him, never interviewed him, never talked to him.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the folks that I do know that have had interactions with him, to a person, will tell you exactly the same thing. Humble, classy, just treated you like you expected to be treated, right? Like you want your next door neighbor to treat you. And yeah, he was a great player, but his legacy may go even further than that. As far as what his impact was in terms of race relations, how you treat your fellow man. And you're right. When you go through what he accomplished on the field, you think it's a typo. He was a superstar. And he, the way he treated people made him a superstar. So a huge loss. And really for a lot of Braves fans, it's been a tough race. I mean, you talked about, you know, Phil Niekro passed away, I think, the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Don Sutton, I know he had Dodger ties, but he, obviously Braves fans came to know and love him as well. And now Hank, Hammer and Hank gone. And, again, thoughts and prayers. But, man, what a legacy. What a person. We should all learn and copy the way Hank Aaron treated folks. And what he went through from a race perspective, racism, hatred. Yeah. To break Babe Ruth's record. I mean, when you read the stories, you just shake your head in amazement of how he just conducted himself on that level for such a long period of time. I mean, that is a true definition of being a superstar. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Just a remarkable – when we use the term sports icon, he was a national sports icon.
Yes, sir.
In so many ways. And he touched a lot of the people that are coaching and playing today at the professional level, not only in baseball, but in other sports as well, too. So Hank Aaron was 86 years old. Florida State is going to be ranked later today when the AP poll comes out. How high will they jump? Michigan went from nowhere to number 7 a year ago. So since you're so good at picking lottery number, or I'm sorry, Michigan went nowhere to number 4 a year ago in Juwan Howard's first season. So I'm going to ask you this, Mark, since you're so good at the Mega Millions game.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you pick where you think Florida State is today? Give me a number.
All right. I'm going to say they're going to end up in the teens. I mean, Seth Greenberg's talking top 10. I think that's a historic jump. By the way, Michigan jumped from nowhere to 4 just because they beat a bunch of teams the first week of the season. We're a little deeper into the run here. So Florida State was 29th. 29th last week in the AP poll. I am going to say – they jump to 15. 15 is the number.
All right. 15. I am going to go 11. I'm going to go all the way to 11.
I hope you're right.
For Florida State.
I hope you're right.
So 15 and 11 are the numbers.
All right. Write those down.
We'll see who wins the AP poll lottery tomorrow.
I can tell you who's not going to win. I can prove it at a 92.1% inaccuracy rate. And that's been documented.
This is the one you're going to get right.
No, I never get any of this right, ever. But I will sell a house
by
the time we're back here tomorrow.
Yeah, you can sell a house. If you weren't with us earlier, Pac was selling houses on Friday after the show for about a half hour. Drew, Josh, Chrissy, everybody, thanks. There he is. Call now for the deal. Steve Forbes of Wake Forest joins us at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I got a lovely split level for you, ranch style, too. We'll see you tomorrow. Packer and Durham starts your day at 7 a.m.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.